Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff and things.
And articles on Medium.com. And today we're doing Season 5, second episode. Woo! Super Whoa. Early. Today's theme is going to be men's issues.
Yep. Men's issues. We did a women's issues not too long ago, and this is the month of Father's Day, so let's talk about men.
You sound so thrilled about it.
It is a complex conversation for me. Because I have been friends with many groups of women and a few groups of people from the LGBTQIA plus community. And you know what? The common situation that really troubles all of them?
Men.
Men.
Yeah.
Men. And I have historically been considered a man. And so, like, I've had some certain defensiveness and identity situations through this as well. Just being a man and seeing what men are doing and being disappointed in men and seeing good men that, you know, are miracles from my eyes and stuff like that. And so it's a very nuanced place that I'm coming at it from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, how about we do some shout outs? Because we got a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, it is definitely the shout out time. Where do you want to start with those shout outs?
So I was going to start with the one that you probably haven't read. I don't know if you got a chance to read that one because I just found it today, right before we started recording. It's the one by Ute Leopards. It's called On a Whim. It's a poem. It's very short, but it was impactful. And I don't want to get into it because it kind of spoils the thing, but I mean, it's published in Catharsis Chronicles, if that helps you, like, understand what the poem's possible content is, but I just really liked it. It was nice.
Yeah.
Were you able to read it at all?
No. I did not. I kind of forgot to read, to even attempt to read it. My bad.
That's fair. Well, it was just published at the time of us recording. It was just published like 13 hours ago. So it's pretty new. Go check it out.
Ute's had a lot of pieces that we've covered, so I'm sure it's delightful. She's got some really good writing.
Yeah, she's super compassionate. Mm-hmm. And this is another one that extends to people, her compassion with people, also with animals, because there's always animals involved with her. But the compassion that she holds in her heart for, like, all living things is just amazing. It's admirable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I aspire to be more like Ute. Not gonna lie. But anyway, moving on. So we have two. They're technically going to be kind of lumped together here, but they are definitely two different ones. I didn't mean to have that in there. What's the one that I don't have? Oh, I don't have Sturges.
I will send it to you.
Yeah, send me that one, because that wasn't supposed to be a thing. I haven't published that. That's my letter. So we did this letter to our crush in our writing group.
Yeah, as a part of our Discord, we have a little writing group that we're doing.
And two of our writing group members have published them, and I wanted to kind of showcase that. I guess everybody that's watching the video gets a little bit of a reveal about what I'm going to be publishing with mine. But so we have Sturges, A Letter to My Ultimate Crush, and then also Murphy's Law's A Letter to My High School Crush. They are exactly what they sound like. They are letters to their crush.
Yep.
Any crush. That
was a thing that we did in the writing group, and both, as you saw from the little sneak peek that Tam accidentally did, Tam's is getting worked on, and I kind of finished mine, although there could be some input that I changed some stuff on, but I haven't really decided to publish mine yet, though I am being told I should.
Yeah, I don't want to force you, but you should publish the things that you write. Yeah. It gives people the chance to get to know you.
But it was a good little fun exercise just to come up with something to write to a person that we, have those crush feelings on. And we kind of all took it in, I think we all four took it in different ways.
Yeah, well, Murphy made it into a poem. Sturge actually, like, I don't know if it was, yeah, I guess it was a an actual letter. And his was to his ultimate crush, which is, his partner
His partner.
currently. And I took it in a different direction. I think you and I took it in similar directions.
Well, yours was somebody from your past, right?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, well,
And
yeah,
mine.
that's true. And you were talking to somebody that you currently talk to?
I have crushes all the time, and so I just sort of arbitrarily picked one of my current crushes and
Right.
then decided to write a letter to that person. But I like name them and everything, so I'm definitely going to have to change that part because I'm not putting names into a Medium article, that's for
Yeah,
sure.
that's fair.
But yeah, we kind of all took a little bit of a different approach to it, and I think it's an interesting little mix, and it was a fun first exercise to do as a writing group. Anything you
So,
want to say about that writing group?
for anybody that wanted to be a part of the writing group, let me know on our Discord, and we'll get you in there. And it's by invite only, so you can't just like show up in Discord and then be a part of the writing group right now. I'm still kind of building it, but yeah, it's open for people that are interested in it, and just hit me up.
Yep. Absolutely. And check out Murphy's and Gerald's articles. They're great.
So the last shout out actually kind of switches the tone to the men's issues again. And this one, I really liked the article by Joe Gay. Yeah.
Could be gay, yeah.
Well, he said in his bio or maybe it was the about that he used to go by Gway a lot before he came out as being gay because non-ironically and for this episode. He was not comfortable having his name make it sound like he was gay because, that's part of the male issues that we're going to be going over. But his article, Mistaken Male Musings on Menopause, which I love the alliteration, by the way.
I do too. I absolutely adore it.
And I did kind of want this to be something that we talked a little bit about, but it didn't have the right feel for the main episode because it's tangentially men's issues, but mostly women's.
But yeah, it's obviously talking about menopause. And it is definitely kind of framed as what menopause is from a man's perspective. Or, but it's obviously a man that cares enough to ask. Because, part of this whole article is learning through the interactions with the women in his life what menopause really means. So.
Yeah, and I got the basic feel that I got out of it was that we need to talk about how it affects men, and if we can talk about how it's affecting men, we can also tackle destigmatizing talking about menopause in general. Because people just don't feel comfortable talking about it, and it does impact men, so why don't we talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like that perspective.
Yeah, I thought it was a good one too. So check it out from Joe Gay.
So I don't remember which one was supposed to be first.
Because I think that one leads into the other, you said, and
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I think that that's the best way to do it. And so for me, I thought it was it's time to stop idolizing extreme men was next.
Okay. I had forgotten where we put them, so I didn't have them in order. So
It
yeah.
was a little, yeah. We need to go further into that, yeah.
Did you want
Yeah,
to
I'll
kick
because
this
I've.
off since,
I kind of found this one. It's called It's Time to Stop Idolizing Extreme Men. It's by Daniel Mitzenshort. And it's going to be like when I think of men's issues, this is the stuff that now is what's in the forefront of my mind all the time. The idolization of men that are performatively big and strong and tough, and no one can tell them what to do, and they have all the money and the women and the power. Those performative things are now corrupting an enormous amount of men. Maybe I'm using too strong a words. You let me know. Am I using too strong a words here, Tam?
I don't know. I don't think you are. The sad thing is, I think it is an enormous amount of young men, usually young men.
I think corrupted is also the right word.
And some of them, yeah, some of them are being corrupted, and they either go on to become what they think that they can achieve, as close to this idolized perspective as possible, or they end up being basically incels.
Right, exactly. Because no one teaches them how to communicate with other people. They just teach them how to be assholes.
Yep.
Because a lot of these big, powerful men that aren't really real, all they show to the public face is them not taking anyone's crap and, standing up for themselves and not listening to what other people have to say and, not getting in trouble for breaking crimes and laws and the rules of polite society. And so they think that those are the things that lead you to success, to money, to women, to power. And it's not.
No, money
They
is what
stole all those
leads
things before they
you,
got there.
money is what leads you to be able to be an asshole without consequence. And
Yeah.
they give this impression that being the asshole without consequence led to the money, but that's not, it's a reverse.
Exactly.
And technically, it's not that they live without consequence, it's just that in a lot of situations, they can buy their way out of
Right. Because we
it.
long ago, especially in this country and probably around most of the world, we decided that the word consequence could also mean a fine,
Yeah.
a little bit of money. And the more money you have,
Well, just
or the more
remember, even
money you.
Andrew Tate went to jail, so.
Yeah, he did. But he's also got an enormous amount of money, and he started Hustler U, which young men paid $2,000 a month for nothing. For little videos saying you can be powerful if you do this, or workout tips. Like, he stole a lot of money, and he is. I'm grumbly about that. Andrew Tate irritates me so much.
Yeah, and it's a lot like the health industry in general, the self-help industry, where they like just sell you a bunch of bullshit basically, and they make a lot of money, and so they're able to do all of this advertising and somehow manage to get the extreme people on board. And that
Yeah.
makes it seem like if you're not on board, then you're the one with the problem.
And there's a whole bunch of young men that never really figured out how to interact with people. And the internet came about, and became popular in the last couple of decades or so. And so they didn't interact much with people. And so this information from these big, powerful dudes seems totally plausible to them because they just haven't had the experience of someone saying, "Hey, could you talk to me nicer a little bit? Or could you take me into account more? Or could we maybe share the conversation?" I want to get back to the article.
Yeah. So the article is actually like really old. We don't usually talk about articles that are this old, but trying to find articles about men was actually a lot more difficult than I expected.
Right. We would have loved to have found some, articles from people that were talking about the health issues that meant that the heart conditions and stuff like that that men go through. But it just seemed like everything we found was either one side or the other of the toxic masculinity question.
And that might have been because of the searches that we did. It may not be indicative of that not being something people are talking about. It's hard to
Yeah.
say.
We also were a little pressed for time, it's true.
Yeah.
But again, I want to get back to this article itself. Yeah, it's a little dated, but like it is a pretty long and extensive look at how these powerful men are trying to like tell men who and what to be, and how we don't need somebody to come in and tell young men who and what to be. What we need is to stop idolizing these extreme men that are not realistic. Andrew Tate's not going to be anybody's, you know, dad coach on the soccer team. You're not going to find him trying to decide what loaf of bread he wants to buy in the store. That's not a real person.
Right.
And this article really shows that, like, it's all a performance, and it's all for the purposes of making money, and it's all for the... And for some of them, it is a political thing to try and make it to where men are the most powerful and dominant aspect of society again and forever again.
Right. And people think that that's... I don't know. They put their this... I want to say their best face forward, but it's not. It's not their best face. It's just this caricature of the alpha male that they've dreamed up. And a lot of them do believe in it. Like Andrew Tate totally believes in what he's saying, but he's not doing what he's doing to help other people. He's doing it because it makes him money.
And influence. Yeah.
And it preys on the vulnerabilities of people who are already struggling, and it teaches them to do things that are going to cause them to struggle more.
Right. And in an interview, you can totally see Andrew Tate, you know, being like, I do what I do to help young men be more powerful and to get better on the workout and stuff like that. But like, it's just a performance. He was once a kickboxer. Now he's an actor. That's it.
Yeah. 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 And I liked that Daniel Midson short at the end kind of gives you a better idea of like what you can actually do if you're in this position where you're idolizing these people. He gives a suggestion of like, hey, how about this instead?
Right. I like that too a lot.
And it kind of picks, like, it kind of moves into the article that we have second. I don't know if you wanted to move on to the second article or not, but
yeah, we can move on to the second article, absolutely. And it does feed into there quite well.
But Daniel Midson Short's suggestion kind of blends into Matthew Maniacci's article about not all masculinity is toxic, which was actually the very first article that I came across. I was like, this is going to be in the men's issues episode. It has to be. It's kind of the focal point.
Right. Right. And this also talks a lot about what I was talking about with toxic masculinity to begin with. But Matthew Maniacci just has a really like relatable way of being able to put this stuff down. At least to me, I don't know if everybody gets that the way I do, but like it's the way I would say some of this stuff if I could find the right way to speak sometimes. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I feel like he even seems relatable to me. I mean, as a woman, the way he talks about the masculine experience, I identify with that being what I see on the outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I really like that Matthew really went into trying to define what people mean when they're saying toxic masculinity. Because, and he even says it in the article, there's such a knee-jerk response to hearing those two words together and just wanting to immediately fight it.
Yeah, and that's something I wanted to talk about, but go ahead. I'll wait until you're finished with your thought.
Just tried to actually put in a little bit of a little bit of context about like what it could mean, and that it is a nuanced position, and that there's not really anybody out there that's actually saying every man is toxic or all masculinity is toxic. And so, you know, any man responding to the two words with the fight response is kind of damaging the cause. Anyway, but yeah, that's basically what I was trying to say. Where were you going to go with it?
So there's that concept about, you know, men feeling the need to defend other men because I don't know if it actually had a because part, but I wanted to offer my perspective in there of, I see myself doing this in situations where sometimes it's you know, oh, when somebody's talking about how women do this thing, and I identify with that being similar to something that I have done, and then I'll sometimes jump to their defense. And I mm-hmm. see that being a similarity where, like, it's almost like they're not so much defending that other person and what they did, but they're actually defending what the tiny overlap, the similarities of things that those people themselves have done.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not have gone as far as those other people, but, like, it's on a line that, you know, each individual man can sometimes see, like, well, I went this far. And I get that going that far is technically bad, but also I see from my perspective, because I went this far, it can happen. I could see that I could accidentally, you know, have gone a little further, and maybe that's what happened. And so they kind of empathize with the mistake instead of being able to identify that, one, that was a mistake, and two, accept that they made a mistake that wasn't as bad as that one, but they made a mistake and it's okay. But, like, you still have to admit that it was a mistake.
Right. And it's so important.
I think that's a part of the toxicity, is not being able to admit mistakes.
Yeah. And understand that it's okay to make mistakes.
Right. Which obviously isn't just masculine, but it does seem to have a large prevalence in this the toxic part of masculinity, where we're like, the man is always right.
Right.
And even when he's wrong.
I'm gonna speak a little bit on that, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All I have is my own anecdotal experience, right? And the things that I've seen online from other people or people that talk to me in life. But, like, the people that are very pro-men, they still talk about how it is the man's job to provide, to be the rock, to take care of others, to protect, to be the strength.
To make the rules.
Well, I only brought up the ones I brought up because they avoid the things that are too overpowering.
Mm.
But I'm bringing all of those up to say that, like, that all alone kind of pushes this whole idea that we as men, even though I don't super identify as a man, but men are not really allowed to make mistakes. Men are not allowed to fall short because we have, quote unquote, so much riding on our shoulders. And they know, though they never talk about it, but I think an enormous amount of men know that as soon as you doubt yourself, you lose all of your strength and power. And so they've kind of been conditioned in a certain way to not be allowed to lose their strength, lose their confidence, or admit to mistakes. And it is damaging everything, because being able to admit to your mistakes, it makes everything better. It makes you feel better. What's up?
I can't help but wonder if that perspective doesn't, like, it sounds like it literally comes from patriarchy, where every man believes themselves to be the king of his own castle, right? And the burden of a leader is such that if you question yourself too heavily, then the people around you that you are somehow managing to keep in check by, you know, being the strong, intimidating, ruling force, they are going to notice that weakness and then take advantage of you. But that assumes that power has to be violent or aggressive. That assumes that power is controlling others rather than guiding others or influencing others, which is it sounds like the same thing, but it's a very different perspective.
Right. Absolutely a very different perspective. Because the only power that existed 1,000 years ago was the power to make people fear you. Probably, I'm generalizing. I'm sure that there were kind people that helped.
Women have been doing, you know, have been influencing people through sex and their sexuality and sexual impulses for thousands of years. I obviously violence and intimidation were not the only powers. They just were the only ma powers that men were allowed to really look into, I guess.
It was totally normal in the 80s, as recently as the 80s, for two dudes to get into a fight at the bar because one said something the other person didn't agree with. And then one of them decided that since the disagreement happened, the only way to resolve it was to show the other one that he was too powerful to disagree with. And that's madness to me.
I mean, I still think that happens.
Probably.
But
But it was just
yeah,
common
I
back
mean,
then.
that's what they mean by when they talk about like knuckle draggers. Is that what they call them?
I think that might be a bad term. I don't know. I didn't look it up or
I thought
anything.
that that was like referencing the fact that some men are still kind of like their mentality
Caveman?
is stuck in the caveman mentality. Yeah, where you're basically little better than an ape banging his chest, screaming at other people, and knocking them over the head.
I think there's apes that would be offended about what I just said. Just anyway, but yeah, I absolutely like there's still for some reason it's still even taught that like, you know, m more physical power means you get to make more decisions and it's I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
I want to call out one line from Matthew Maniacci's article. Do you mind if I do that?
No, go ahead.
Just as we all understand to some degree that hashtag not all men are creeps who assault women, it's still true that enough men are creeps.
Yep.
I just had to call that out because, you know, there is a lot of people out there that are like, not every man does that shit. And it's like I started, I think it was the episode I started with saying that I've been in a bunch of groups of women that were friends of mine and also LGBTQIA plus folks that were friends of mine. And the underlying problem that a lot of them experienced all the time was men, you know?
Yeah, and I've said that before, not in different words. I've made the statement of, yeah, not all men, but enough men. Enough that there it's still a big problem. And though it may not be enough for men to care, it is definitely enough for most, like it's one of the issues that women don't really disagree with each other about.
Because it's too dangerous for women to disagree with each other about it. They
Right.
need the solidarity.
I mean, there are outliers, obviously. It's never 100% of anything, but by and above, this is one of those issues that if you ask a woman where they stand, it's the bear in the woods, the man or a bear in the woods problem. It is largely going to be, I would rather deal with the bear because the bear, I can predict how I can get away from the bear, how I can avoid the bear. But I can't predict how to avoid a man. Because if that man knows that I am on that island, he will stop at nothing, potentially, to do
And
whatever he wants.
even if it's only 1 or 2 or 4% of the population of men that are the types of men that are willing to like do anything to get a woman get a take to have power over a woman or an LGBTQ folk person, like that's 1 out of 20. That's 1 out of 25 or 1 out of 50. And how long do you think it takes people to meet 50 men?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of them out there.
And so, you know, if it, the statistics that come out that like 1 in 2 women have been sexually assaulted by the age of what, 16 or 18 or something like that, I just made that one up. But there
I've
are
heard one
statistics that are
in
similar.
three. They said 1 in 6 for a long time, but it switched about 5 years ago to 1 in 3. 1 in 3 women have been sexually assaulted. It might be 1 in 6 that have been raped. That might be what that statistic is now.
But the statistics change, you know? And
And it's getting worse.
I think that our next generation actually will be better at this and it'll start
I
to go
think so
down over
too.
time. But I think that a lot of the I think that there's just a lot of bad information that's being perpetuated intentionally over and over again. And I feel bad. I feel like I'm shitting on men during our men's issues.
Well, that's the thing. That's what the good men have to deal with. The biggest issue that good men have are all of these men that give every man a bad name, because the good men know, yeah, it's not all men, but it's enough men. And what am I, like, Ghost confided in me about this very issue. He's like, what am I supposed to do? If I fight against that, then I'm just going to sound like those men. So I can't do that. But I can't do nothing, because right. Then I'm, you know, like, but that's the only thing you can do. So you just end up feeling very frustrated and powerless against this worldview. And like the thing that he ends up having the biggest urge to do is to fight, like, verbally fight with other men in the hopes of changing their perspective.
Right. Which I don't know if anybody out there has been trying to change anybody else's perspective, but it's really freaking hard to change anyone's perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's the best you got, though. That's what a lot of the good men that come out and write about this issue and say, like, this is really happening. We have a lot of men going down a really dark and lonely and angry road right now, and people leading them there on purpose, Pied Pipers playing those melodies.
In the name of money.
And so what the only thing that we as good men can do is confront the people that are being toxic. And that only is us yelling at somebody or confronting someone verbally and trying to change their minds. And if we can't resort to violence for it, because that's exactly what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Well, let's be honest. If we wanted to actually, like, fix this as a problem without having to fix it directly as a problem, we could fix one issue that by and above would affect so many other issues, it's not even funny. If we stopped worrying about money and found a way to just share everything, then leading people down a path wouldn't be so important.
Interesting.
Because they wouldn't be able to do anything for money.
You're kind of rewriting the entire power structure that we have in our society
doing that. That's a huge issue that I'm not really sure has a solution.
Actually, I came up with a solution. I don't know that this will actually work. It's just an idea I had. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear a silly idea I had?
Sure.
I came up with the idea that what we should be doing is we should be taking every single adolescent that exists and shoving them all together on the same giant island away from all other civilization with an enormous number of medical professionals, mental health professionals, and life coaches, all of them very vetted to make sure that none of them are trying to take advantage. And then we just kind of let everybody from the ages of 16 to 25 figure their shit out with infinite amount of resources to help them out.
Why would they need an island for that? Dude, why do you need to isolate them away from other people for that?
Because I don't want to, because that's the age. That's the age period where they get a little weird with it. And I don't want it to hurt the kids. And I don't want the old people to have to worry about it.
Okay, but couldn't we just, and we're off on a tangent here, but couldn't we just increase support for mental health services across the board for all ages? And then like sort of make a little bit of a mandatory health check-in? Like, wouldn't that have a similar impact over time?
Maybe. I think it would have
without alienating an entire group and an entire generation of people.
I'm not alienating an entire generation of people. That's not what I'm doing at all.
I mean, you want to take the adolescents. That's a generation.
Well, as soon as they get to be 25, they get to go back out into the real world. And there is preparation for months beforehand to help them be able to reintegrate.
But wherever you start that is going to be the start of a generation of people. You understand that. That's how generations work.
Right.
Time is fluid. So you're suggesting that we alienate an entire generation of people, fix them, but the rest of the world is just screwed until they get out, and then what? at 25 they somehow come back and fix everybody else. No,
no,
I think giving mental health services for everybody and making mandatory mental health checks being a thing, like, I think that that goes a long way to that. Maybe making, you know, how you have to get a pediatrician for a child, maybe there should be a mandatory mental health crew for children.
I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is a great idea. You've misrepresented what I was trying to say. But mine's a story idea that we can talk about another time.
Hey, Serge is here.
It's just for funsies.
Hey, Serge.
But there is a misrepresentation there. But what you're saying is correct, and we can move on. Sorry about making the tangent happen.
No, that's all right. It was a fun tangent. And besides, Sturge is here now.
Yeah. Hello, Sturge.
So,
well,
at the end of the day, Matthew Maniacci talks about how masculinity could be, like, in a very serious way. And it sounds like a beautiful world from my perspective. And I don't think it sounds like utopia. I think it sounds very doable, very reasonable, still has plenty of room for, you know, things to be imperfect without being catastrophic. And then we have our last article, who was, it was written by Patrick Metzger.
Probably Metzger.
I hope I'm saying that right. And it's called "Can't Make It as an Alpha Male? Here Are Some Options." You know, in case the reality of Matthew Maniacci's solution wasn't enough, here are some that maybe are a bit more jovial.
This one was this one was kind of a breath of fresh air. Had some good, I mean, I'm going to call it out. It had some good comedy to it, honestly. But you've heard of alpha male and sigma male and beta male, right? Let's make some other ones for funsies, because it'd be hilarious. That's what this was, and it was delightful.
Yeah. What was the one that really got us? It wasn't the Frodo, although the Frodo male was pretty funny too. Which, that's the subtitle, you can be a Frodo male. I think it was the very last one.
But yeah, I think Burger King male might have been the one that we were really...
No. What was the one above that?
The seagull.
The seagull! The seagull male. And I'm just like, he's just like pulling different animals out of his butt. You know, like, you could just be the snake male or be the sea slug male.
Right. I mean, and I hope this isn't a call out, because I think that this might have been what happened and it was hilarious for me to envision it.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was just sitting on his couch and he saw, you know, a magazine, two movies, a bird outside, and out the window, the Burger King down the street. And he was like, those are my five male types.
Right.
Yep. And then just made shit up based on what those are. And I thought it was hilarious.
I loved it. It was fantastic. After reading through the articles that we just could not justify mentioning to give them any sort of traction, and that I felt a little bit bad that my read went to making them feel better about their life choices, this article was just mwah, chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
So happy.
Absolutely. It was a good one. I don't know that we have an enormous amount to really say about it. Go check it out. I don't want to ruin the surprise of it, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like we've already said more than we should have maybe about it, but like, go and read it. It's got so many great, like, there's some that sound like they're a little bit serious and you're like, I don't know, bud. But like, you get further down and you're like, oh, this is just, those weren't serious. That was supposed to be ridiculous.
Right.
And that goes to show how bad things are with this situation, that there are some things that are meant to be ridiculous, but we at first were like, is he serious? Is this?
Right.
Because it could be. Because there are probably people out there that say that not ironically.
Yeah, there are. There are certainly people out there. I mean, Sigma Male was a joke when it first came out, but then people started making a real, actual thing that they wanted to follow with it. And then I think I've heard popularized Omicron Male, and I don't even know what that one is. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing, guys? Like, just be a you male. Who are you?
In a
what
way,
do you like?
In a way, it's heartening because you remember back in the 90s where there were all these like different types of girls that you could be? You could be a Barbie girl, or you could be a lipstick
Valley.
Lesbian girl. You could be a Valley,
Valley
girl.
Girl. Yeah.
Yeah, there were all these different girls, and it was like this huge girl power movement that like the world was open to you. You could be a businesswoman. You could like, and this is sort of the male pendulum of that.
Yeah, I would love that if we could just like let guys just pretend to be their own action figure of whatever they want to be, you know? You could go be the fire truck man, and you can go be the military man or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
As long as not, as long as all those men aren't toxic. Preferably none of them.
Or like, you could be a goth girl.
Right.
Whole identity based on a style.
Yeah.
So, you know, I in that respect, I don't mind there being options for men. I just mind that all of the options seem to follow a particular theme.
Right. Exactly.
Goth girl and... Sturgy.
Do we have... Is Sturge commenting?
Yeah. Do you not see the comments?
No, my chat
yeah,
has...
Yeah, Goth Girl Gerald is so much better. I agree.
Goth Girl Gerald is fantastic. Oh, for some reason my chat wasn't advancing. I didn't see Sturge say anything yet.
Oh, weird. Yeah. He's posted 11 different things.
I see that now. Pound mail. Those are good.
The quarter pounder with cheese mail. Yeah, so not to reveal everything that he puts in there, go read Patrick's article about having different options. I think maybe at some point somebody should write it not ironically, but until then, this is something that will be very funny.
And we all need a breath of fresh air sometimes. You cannot just live in the issues of the world or the issues of your life. You sometimes have to find smiles.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean that, you know, that the struggle isn't worth talking about. We're not using this article to poo-poo it away. It's just sometimes you got to come up for some fresh air and focus on something else for a little bit. Because, oh my God, it's... This episode was very overwhelming as the women's issue was, or the grief episode was. Like this one was, it just felt like, you know, that feeling of like a wave right above you, but like it's a whole like tsunami wave, and it's just about to crash on top of you. Like that's what this episode felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I kind of had to go some internal places for this one, but it's okay. I'm actually, that's part of the reason why I like doing the podcast, is that it does help me, you know, rethink some things sometimes, or
yeah,
be able to come up with new ways of thinking of things sometimes.
Getting vulnerable has that effect. And when we talk, you and I, we do tend to get pretty vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. So, yeah, check out the articles that we brought to you today. Patrick Metzger's is hilarious. Maniacci's and...
Maniacci's has hope to it.
Yeah.
I think...
And Mids and Shorts article really targets a specific issue and still has a little bit of hope
yeah,
at the
end.
Yeah,
it does have some hope to it. So like, it's not... There's light at the end of the tunnel, I think. It's just that we know that light... It's not ours to reach.
Yeah.
We don't get control over when we reach it. It's there for when we can figure out a way to make that light more appealing to the vulnerable young males of today, so that maybe tomorrow we can all stand in the light and be out of this fucking tunnel.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice.
Something to hope for.
And then maybe that 1 in 3 number might start to change in a good direction.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tam, what do you think? Did we do an episode?
I think we did an episode.
Think this was an episode?
Yeah.
I think we did a pretty good episode.
I think so too, even though Sturge was only here for the end of it. I want to thank Sturge for being a part of the live recording.
Absolutely. Thank you, buddy, for showing up. And you, dear listener, can be a part of the live action by joining our Discord through themonsteralley.com, which also has links to our articles, Spotify, and Substack. I want to thank you all for hanging out and listening to us today. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles this day.
I'm the Accidental Monster, and you can find us on Medium.com or through themonsteralley.com, which is themonsteralley.com. And remember to follow yourself, always. Woot! I have to pee really bad. Do you mind
Yeah, go,
if I.
run.
Okay. I shall return.
Sturge never knows where he is. Not ever. Everything is the opposite of what you think it is, buddy. I'm so sorry to hear that. Except not everything. Everything you think about Mike is true. That's probably for sure. I was afraid we weren't going to get to see you, buddy. Being a Monday and all. You'd have to ask. But I bet. Sure. Probably. Have you seen the anime fruits basket? Because that's pretty, kind of a loaded phrase there for me, fruit basket. But it's a really good anime. Really enjoyed it a lot. Both versions, actually. I can't remember. Did you ever watch anime? Yes. Kyo and Toru. That's all right. Not everything is for everyone. I just started watching the original Dragon Ball recently. Like, the original Dragon Ball. I gotta get through it. It's like a cultural touchstone so I can really understand our culture. And you know what I saw more of in the first three or four episodes than I ever expected to see? Kid Goku's genitals. It is not something that I expected or wanted, but the original Dragon Ball is way racier than I expected. And just straight up showing off things that should not be shown. Yeah, I don't think you have a gift for that. Please don't have a gift for that. I'll have to delete it if you have a gift for that, honestly.
What did I miss?
Nothing? Anime talk.
I clearly missed something.
I was talking about how I started watching Dragon Ball recently, the original Dragon Ball anime, and in the first two or three episodes, you see Child Goku's genitals.
Huh.
I mean, sure, it's just like three lines, but still, they're just there. On the camera.
Yeah,
It's
well,
so much racier than I expected.
anime in Japan doesn't have to censor children's parts.
Yeah, the big problem that I have is that they showed that to us and he looks like he's five. And okay, whatever, you know, like, especially decades ago, if you were out at your aunt's pool party and one of the kids ran around without their swimsuit on, like, it'd be like, ho ho ho, nobody look, you know, whatever. But like, then the kid, the next episode was like, I'm 14. And I'm like, that's not cool. You're not supposed to do that.
You remember Photon?
I do remember Photon.
Oh, that
Oh,
was
I miss
so.
Photon.
It was such a great show, but it was also so bad with that. Because that little boy was naked so much, but he loved his big sister a little too much with her giant titties. Yeah. He was
Absolutely.
like literally in love with her. That was pretty much the premise and driving force of the movie or show.
I can't
Was it a
remember which one
movie
it
or
was.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I
Yep.
mean, it's fine to
You
love
are.
boobs. It's not about the fact that he loved the boobs. He was in love with his sister and was upset that she married and moved away.
Hey Tam, how did I do on the little scripty thing, by the way?
You did pretty good, yeah.
Because I barely found it in time. Barely.
Yeah, I did notice that, but it's okay. Do you have it like written down? Because I have it physically written down so that I can just like look at the paper.
No, I had to find it in our conversation.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was what happened. Do you want me to like to write it, like handwrite it for you so that you can
No,
sticky it somewhere?
I'm gonna literally make a new sticky note on my computer and put it on there. And we're gonna make this sticky note. This is such great after party content.
I actually think we did such a great job with the episode itself. Like the after party and the pre-show might not, I don't know, maybe they might be a little lacking. Well, the pre-show actually we went a little bit into the men's issue stuff during the pre-show, so there's some good stuff there.
Joe Dirt, what a classic movie.
I keep burping because I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, well, we got another 10 or so minutes of post-show after party before we have to call it, and then you can go eat.
Yes, Gerald, we figured we started earlier than you could show up for, so partially
Yeah.
on us.
Well, we got a lot going on. We're trying to release this week's episode, and also Tam has an enormous amount of stuff that she has to do to for the episode we just recorded immediately. So Tam's got a lot to do tonight, and I'm packing for my trip.
I've decided I'm not going to try to start editing tonight, so that takes a little bit off of my plate.
Oh, good.
I do try to keep into the habit of doing things for the podcast right after we do the podcast, but it's just not going to happen today.
Kind of glad you're taking the time for yourself.
Also, I think Ghost just got home.
Oh yeah?
I think so. I
I can
can't.
look, but I can't see. Yes. There
Yes.
is
Yes,
a
he's home.
vehicle. Yes, there is a vehicle.
Focus on your critical self-care. I loved Schitt's Creek. That was such a great show.
I never saw it. I'll have
You
to check it
should.
out
It's
sometime.
really good. Mortal was able to see above the counter.
What?
I
I
don't
don't get
know.
it.
That's what Sturge said.
I don't get it.
So I don't know if he's going to come in through the front door or the back door.
Yeah, I understand.
I did message him, but you know how it can go.
I still don't get it, Gerald.
Because you were looking out the mirror or looking out the
Oh no, I was leaning. I am short, but I was
window.
leaning to a side in my chair and didn't want to knock over stuff in my room. But I am short.
I always love like when people have short jokes and then they're like trying to explain it without saying that being short is the joke, but it just doesn't hit. And so then, you're short. That's the joke. You're short. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a lot easier for people that have the Napoleon complex, because they're all angry about it constantly and they think
Like me?
everything has to do with their height. Yeah,
I used to hate the fact that I was short.
you had that, and your offspring has that a little bit.
I'm all right with it now. I don't like having to stand on top of a chair to get to the top. I am short. I'm 5'3". I'm not miniature, no. I'm not as short as Ghost's mom. She's like under 5 foot. I feel like a freaking monster around them. I'm like, I'm so fat and I'm tall. I'm like nothing like what you should be attracted to because all the women in Ghost's family are tiny.
That's not necessarily how that works every time. But
I'm regular woman people sized.
but do you feel like you're towering over them and feel bad about that sort of thing? Does it feel kind of weird?
I don't so much feel like I'm towering over them because we don't really stand next to each other very often. But I'm much larger, like in a weight sense, so I feel fat around them. I feel like I feel like Miss Piggy.
Oh, I don't think you're fat, but I understand you do, and that's okay.
Yeah, I feel fat.
I was a little self-conscious about being short in my youth because all my cousins are well over 6 foot.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Because I'm adopted. And I was always very short compared to everybody in my family, but like I kind of didn't care. Like I just took the I took the joking, the pointing, picking fun at me and calling me short stack and shrimp and all that other stuff all the time. Like it didn't matter after a certain point. I got so desensitized to it, it just didn't matter. And so like when people thanks, Ronald McDonald.
You know, it could be that you just shoved it aside to where you stopped feeling the pain.
Maybe, but for whatever reason, it doesn't really affect me. And so now when people are trying to make the joke that I'm short, I usually don't get it because it just doesn't hit with me right away. That's not what I turn to as a thing.
Oh, because you're not afraid of people pointing it out because it's been pointed out so much. You're just like, yeah, it's just a given. I'm short. It's fine.
Right.
You just start with that.
I'm short by being like, I think just barely on the low side of average for an adult male.
Yeah, I don't really, I don't know that you're really that short. Like, what are you, 5'7"? Yeah. I mean, I know it's not 6 foot, but do you remember the friend I used to have? Oh,
I remember
it's
you.
the post show. I'm just gonna name his first name. Yeah, Nathan. He was the same height as me. He was like 5'4". He was short. He was real short.
So apparently, they have different ages for the average height, and it for the young man, 20 to 39, it's 5 foot 9 inches.
Really?
For 40 to 59, it's still 5 foot 9 inches, but it's like a quarter of a centimeter shorter. And then for 60 years and older, it's 5 foot 8, so a good 2.5 centimeters shorter. So yeah, interesting. So once we get to, if I don't shrink, which I probably will, by the time I'm like 80, I'll be the average height.
You gotta take real good care of your spine.
My spine. I already have degenerative spine
I
disease or
know.
whatever it is.
So like
So.
lose some weight. Do some spine exercises to try to preserve your spine, and maybe you'll be, you know, the average, around the average height when we're old.
Maybe. And I'm the tallest Asian that doesn't have any Asian blood.
That doesn't make
Ba-da,
sense.
ba-da. Well, Sturge said I was a tall Asian. Hey, I'm average. Is that Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah, I think so.
Or is that Boy Meets World?
Oh, that might be Boy Meets World. Yeah,
Yeah, there
okay.
it is. That's the one with Topanga.
I didn't watch either one of them, so they look identical to me.
I watched some Boy Meets World and I had a huge crush on Topanga. And
What
I
years were
think
those?
90s.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing, why I didn't watch any of these shows. Everybody else was watching them, but whatever time slot they had, I was apparently watching something else.
Yeah, it was 93 to 2000. So it would have been through like middle school and high school for you. And I think you were a little focused on IRL world.
No, if it was the early part of high school, then I was probably watching cartoons.